So in all the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I think we can agree that there are a variety of difficult and challenging teachings that really kind of throw us sometimes. And we have teachings in there all about the cross, about suffering, about marriage, about family, sexuality, poverty, politics. So all that ought to be the really hard stuff of the gospel, you might think. But that being said, in my experience, personally, over the years as a priest, listening to many of you, this is like the hardest gospel in the whole batch of them. There's just something about this story that just always rubs everybody the wrong way. It just doesn't sit right, no? How is it possible, it's often said to me, Father, that we're supposed to live in some sort of a scenario that is divinely justified, wherein a person gets the same amount of money for doing like nothing compared to the person who worked all day? Just rubs us totally the wrong way, right? So if only I had hours and hours to spend on it, because it's a beautiful story. There's a lot of great, important themes in it. Okay? We can say a couple things about it, though, that are helpful, I hope, today anyhow, especially in the context of our mission appeal this weekend for our friends in Haiti. One thing to say off the bat would be this for sure, and Isaiah gives it to us in the first reading. Isaiah says about God's thinking and his understanding that my thoughts are high above your thoughts. My thoughts are not your thoughts. They're different than yours. So to believe in God and to be a follower of his son, Jesus, is to put on a whole new way of thinking sometimes about things that might be unusual or strange to us at first. Whether God wants to, he wants us to change our perspective on things, right? So the gospel, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Certainly very true. How about this? We can say lots of things about this, like I said, but this one angle might be hopefully helpful. Probably better if we don't think about the gospel story merely in terms of earthly wealth and material kinds of wages and poverty. Although it certainly does talk about that, that's true. Anytime the gospel is put before us, it informs how we labor, how we are compensated, how we treat each other with dignity, all true. But it's not really primarily a story about that. It exists first and foremost on the spiritual plane. It's talking about the kingdom. And the kingdom is certainly an earthly reality, but it is at its kernel a heavenly one. It's otherworldly. And it's trying to pull our thoughts there to the next realm where God is at work in such beautifully moving ways. So how do I mean that? The vineyard owner in the story, we'll call that God, yeah? And the vineyard might be called the zone or the arena wherein we are in friendship with God. That's what the kingdom is. That's what the vineyard is. It is a zone, a territory of the heart wherein you and me decide that God is important, that his law is to be followed, that his mercy is received, that our hearts grow with his grace, so that we want to be in friendship with God as much as possible. That's the vineyard, okay? The zone of harmony and communion between God and you and me. So in the first part of the story, some people come into that zone of friendship with God right away, early in life. Let's pick age 8 maybe. You just sort of understand at that young age that prayer is important, that God is important, that love is important. Call that person an early labor in the vineyard of the kingdom wherein we know God is central. What about those who come late to the vineyard, those who are idle all day? Let's call that, if you want, the people who spend their whole life not really being as concerned about God and then at the last minute realize, wait a minute, perhaps that wasn't right. Maybe there is something to religion, to law, to faith, and they become believers late in the game. And what God's trying to say in the story is he wants as many people as possible to be in that zone of friendship with him. He wants to turn nobody away. He's trying to say how wonderful it is that for all of your life you knew me. That's great to labor with me in my kingdom for all of your days on this earth and into the next life. Great. But who am I, God would say, to turn away somebody who at the end of the day comes to me late? I won't turn them away too. They get the same reward as everyone else does. Friendship with me, mercy, justification, salvation, grace. It's all given to anybody who wants it at any point along the way. God says, I reject no one who wants to be in my friendship. Never mind when they start on that pathway. I want to get as many people in as possible because that's what matters most. Being in friendship with me, the rest of it all kind of aligns accordingly. So that's what's going on in the story, okay? So when one thinks about it on the spiritual plane first, and not so much about maybe earthly wages, while those do matter for sure, certain things begin to become clear to us, and maybe our thoughts change a bit. If God's thoughts are not our thoughts, they are altered a little bit as we think about this. That tells us at the core, like is said in the story of the landowner, the vineyard owner, that God is exceedingly generous. That nobody, and we might think this is the reverse, but the fact is it's true, nobody earns salvation. Nobody earns mercy. Nobody earns grace. It's a gift. It's handed to anybody. We sometimes get into our heads the idea that if I just do this or do that, God will love me more. I can earn this somehow and take it for myself. But the Christian understanding is always the reverse. No, no, no. God wants to give to us. No one earns heaven. No one earns forgiveness. No one earns mercy. No one earns salvation. No one earns the Eucharist, the gospel, the teachings, prayer, the saints. It's all showered on to us as blessing on top of blessing on top of blessing. How wonderful, therefore, if one thinks about it, that God takes you and takes me and says to any one of us here in this room, I give this to you. The full wage is friendship with me. Who wouldn't want that, no? Have I done a thing to deserve that? No, nothing. Have you done a thing to deserve that? No, nothing. It's gift, okay? That's the whole point of the story. The kingdom is a gift, help, and for anybody who wants it, all we have to do is open our hands and just receive it from our very generous, generous God. So it's meant to soften our hearts, to work on our conscience, and to teach us something critical that as humans we tend to forget, namely, everything I have is from God, all of it, right? My faith, my justification, the air that I breathe, the gifts that I have in my head, the intellect that God gave to me, the work of my hands really comes from Him. I don't make the dirt that grows my crops. I don't make the rain that waters my crops. I don't make the stuff that filled my head. It was taught to me. I don't invent the faith. It was given to me. The Eucharist comes to me. The church is given to me. I don't earn anything if I really get down to it. Once I know that in my heart, I start to marvel at how generous God is to me. I mean, what a thing, right? To think that I'm given all these things without ever deserving any of it. It's all a gift. It's all a gift. When one gets down to that insight, okay, that God is so generous, that He gives us so much, that I can't earn heaven or make Him love me anymore, that He just loves me, period, as that starts to seep in, we get into the point and the place where we can be, just like God is, generous ourselves. We become giving ourselves. When I realize it doesn't belong to me anyhow, that it was given to me, then I don't really mind giving it away because I know that I exist in God's outstretched hands and He takes care of me, that I have nothing to worry about because I'm in the vineyard and that can't be taken from me. I have it all in His vineyard. We have it all of us, resting in His vineyard. So who are the people that you want to know in life, right? The generous ones, the ones who get it, who realize I'm blessed and I want to give it back. Generous people are faithful people. They are joyful people. They're the ones who understand what it means to let it flow out of our hands. You who are parents, you get this. You who are spouses, you get this. You who work long at a career vocation, you get this because you have to give and give and give. And what you realize at the end of the day is for all you give away, it all comes back to you 10 times and more because generosity gives life. That's what the story is really all about. Not about wages. Yeah, sure. It's about generosity. God's generous first, so we can be generous back once we realize how generous He is to us. In the context, therefore, of an appeal for our friends in Haiti, makes total sense, doesn't it? I didn't choose to be born in this country with these opportunities. God put me here, then I could help they who were not born here. in a place that is so hard and so difficult and so challenging, where so much is so against you in Haiti, we get the chance to realize that our generous God, who has been generous to us, invites us to be generous like he is and just give. And realize that as we do, as we saw in that awesome video, life just buds forth the more the giving takes place. So giving and not taking is always the answer. Receiving is what God wants us to do, not try and claw our way into heaven. He wants to hand it to us so we can hand to others what they need to live and to breathe and to exist in the fullness of God's life for them. So hopefully that's our exercise for, I think, the day for these readings, to sit back and just think for a second, how much has God given to me? All that I have, all of it's a gift. And as I understand that, I realize how easy it is to give what isn't mine anyway. I just give. And as I do, the vineyard expands, God's love expands, and life buds forth in all the ways that God, our generous God, intends for us, his people.